Bible friends, carries a lot of subjects that might surprise you if you've never read it, of course. You wouldn't know that. A lot of people, you know, they go on mere hearsay, what they've heard other people say that the Bible says. But actually, when you come to it, it doesn't say that at all. So, you know, being as it addresses many and very important subjects that, of course, pertain to yourself personally, may I suggest to you that it's of vital importance that you read for yourself and get first-hand information. To that end, I offer you a copy of an extract, a starter, if you like, from the Bible, one of the Gospels that would give to you flavor, understanding, if you like, of what the entire Bible is about. And it may surprise you right from the start that it's not about religion, inverted commas. Rather, it's about a person, and that person is Jesus, the Son of God, who, of course, came into the world, as the Bible tells us, not to make men religious, but rather to save, to rescue them from a certain unknown danger. The danger that lurks within, the greatest danger, our deceitful, sinful, and desperately wicked hearts. So, as I say, it's offered to you free of charge. There is no cost or obligation to you, yours to take and do with as you will, but in the hope perhaps maybe that you'll read it and come to a better understanding of what the gospel, the good news about Jesus, really actually is. Bible, as I say, handles a lot of subjects, some of them very difficult to understand, to get one's mind round. But when it comes to the vital issue, the most important one, and that is, of course, the reason for which the Bible was given to us, salvation, deliverance, forgiveness, healing, these matters, of course, it handles very clearly, very plainly. In fact, Jesus says that in one place, that he says, unless you become like children, not in behavior, we can do that quite easily, can we not? No, simplicity of mind, trust, you know, simply just taking God, taking Jesus at his word. Unless you become like children, he says, you shall not be converted and, of course, enter into the kingdom of God. So, you see, when it comes to grasping, understanding matters concerning entrance into God's kingdom, into his favor, into his blessings of salvation, then it's the simplicity of childlikeness that is of vital importance. Some of us are far too clever for our own good. We think that we understand everything and we understand nothing. You know how the world began, you know about the origin of the species, how the universe came into being, and so it goes on. All the developments of modern science, medical science, etc. All man is so clever, so enlightened, so educated, that he's way way beyond anything that God would have to say to him, when the reality is we know nothing at all. Man still cannot live with his fellow man. We are still slaughtering one another day after day on this planet. More wars in the last century than ever there has been before, any other century before. So you see, we still can't live with one another. We're still killing, slaughtering one another day after day. We cannot live with ourselves, our own consciences, and it's a certain fact that man still cannot live without God. Of course, when I speak about God, I mean the God of the Bible. I mean the God and Father of Jesus Christ. I mean the God who has blessed this land for the last 400 years in so many ways. It would take me more than a week to express it all to you. But of course, now you've gone back, now you're enlightened, now you're too clever for God, now you don't need him, you're building the kingdom of man without God, the kingdom of the Antichrist. And, well, you're paying a heavy price for it. But as I say, the Bible, many, many subjects it handles, it deals with, some very complex, hard to understand, but the message of salvation, one subject it deals with is the subject of power. Power is, of course, of the ultimate importance, is it not? Where do we get power? Where do we get authority from to do anything? You know, if you're modern day popular, sorry. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. If your modern day popular religion in the United Kingdom is the one to go with, I mean godless atheism, for you know we're all religious, don't you know that? Some people say to me, no thank you, I'm not religious. But you are, every single one of you, every man and woman of you, because you all believe something. You say, wait a minute, I don't believe there is a God. I'm not religious. That's your faith, that's your religion. That's what you believe, not what you can prove. You can't prove nothing. Nothing at all. In spite of all your cleverness, enlightenment. No, people, every single one of you, you're all religious to a man, to a woman. But what you believe, of course, is where you get your authority from. Power. Power, of course, belongs to God, the Bible says, and to him alone. I mean, if there is no God, and if there is, if his commandments are irrelevant to humankind, then I ask you, on what authority, what power have you got to build prisons? What authority have you got to jail people for doing simply what they wish? You see, people, you have no authority, no power at all for anything that you do in what you call, inverted commas, a civilized society. No, power, you see, belongs to God. And the Bible says, concerning power, it says that that the power of God unto salvation it's the apostle speaking. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation. power, you see, we all of us need, and it's the one thing that we lack, isn't it? There's many a person from Mr. Cameron down, doubtless, who would like to change the world, and of course they think in their dreams that they're going to do. Doubtless many people who would like to make changes in our own society, make it a better, safer place, but the question is, where's the power to do this? The reliance, you see, upon man, the reliance is upon their own intelligence, or the lack of it. Their power, you see, is lacking. They don't have the power to do it. They make the promises every election time. Shortly we'll be getting some more. He'll be promising you all of a sundry, but they can't keep the promises because they haven't got the power to make the changes. And then, of course, well, they won't tell you about the things that they really intend to do. You know, the iniquitous, vicious redefining of marriage, you know. That wasn't on their agenda until, that is, they came into power. But you see, the only power they've got is the same power of you've got, and that is the power to sin. You've got no other power. Because, you see, the Bible makes it crystal clear, you see, what the issues are, what the problems with the world, the human race are. And that is that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We're every single one of us, you and I, born, conceived in sin, sinful natures from which come all the bad stuff that you complain about day by day. Why do people, you say, go about slaughtering one another? Why do people go about peddling drugs? Why do people go about molesting children and so on? Well, they do it because they've got wicked, sinful hearts just the same as you and I. It's out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, says Jesus. And those thoughts, of course, they turn into evil and wicked actions. Change the heart and you'll change the man. Change the heart of the human race and you'll change the world, but not until. So the power of politics is no power at all. The power of man is no power at all. He has no power to affect any change in his own heart and life, let alone yours, mine's, societies or the worlds. No, power belongs to God, you see, and it's the gospel, you see, the good news about Jesus Christ. The apostle, he says, he's not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Why should he be ashamed? Why should I be ashamed? Why should anyone blush or snicker, you know, as you do when God is mentioned in public? Why should you be ashamed of such, to speak about God and his salvation under his heaven and amidst the air that he gives you day by day that you breathe? People, nothing to be ashamed of at all. But of course you have a nation now that is thoroughly and absolutely ashamed of the gospel. It's gone back, it's turned away from God, and of course you're becoming day by day more and more powerless. But the gospel is still the power of God for salvation. It's the only remedy, you see, that God has given to you for that deceitful heart, for that sinful nature. It's only the gospel that can change it, the good news about Jesus. You see, the Bible poses one or two questions to you. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Impossible. Impossible. Can you bring a clean child out of an unclean marital relationship? Of course you can't. Sinful parents get sinful children. And so it's passed on down through the generations, right to the very end. And then, of course, another question posed for you is, can you change the spots on a leopard? You say, no, that's impossible. That's his natural condition. It would take a miracle to do that. And of course, the conclusion is, for you yourself, in your natural, sinful, wicked condition, it would take a miracle also. It would take the power of God to change, to transform that nature and give you a love for what you hate and a hate for what you love. You see, people, the truth of the matter is that out of that sinful nature of yours comes a love for that which is deceitful, untruthful. That's why the Bible says you have exchanged the truth for a lie and become worshippers of the creature rather than the God who made you. And of course, you see, it takes the power of God that's found alone in the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It takes that kind of power, the dynamite of God, you might say, to blow you out of the madness of sin, out of the craziness of a world permeated with sin. It takes the dynamite of God to blow a person out of that state and condition and bring them to be and to make them new creatures in Jesus Christ. That's why in the Bible, Jesus says, ye must be born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot see, perceive, that is, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. There must needs, you see, be a change of nature of your natural state. It's then and then only you see you'll love God as you should love your fellow man. You see, the sum and substance of God's commands, his authority is that you should love God and love your fellow man as yourself. But of course there is no love, there is nothing but hatred. That's why you go slaughtering one another day by day. That's why you do heaven-daring abominations in your society today, because there is no love for God and there is no love for your fellow man. It's only the new birth, you see, brought about by the miracle working power of God that will bring about such a cataclysmic change, a change of nature in a human being. It's the work of God, you see, not yours. You may think it's in your power to become a Christian at will, just as you please, or choose, or rather choose not to. It's not in your power. It's God's power. It's God who makes people Christians, not themselves, not the will of man, but born of God, the Bible says. And when a man's born of God, you see, well, he's a totally different creature altogether. He loves God. He loves the truth. Hates the lie. Hates iniquity. Hates the things that permeate your society today. So you see, You must, in order to enter into God's kingdom, you must be born again. And then, of course, when a person is made a new creature, when God has breathed life into their souls, you see, dead in trespasses and in sins is how God describes you in your nature. Dead, you see, to God, dead to the truth, dead to love, totally dead in your trespasses and sins. And it's only God, by His Spirit, who can make you alive, breathe the breath of life into your soul and make you alive. And when that happens, you see, it's then and then only that a man has power. The power to change, the power to repent, to turn from his evil, wicked deeds and thoughts and words. He's a new person altogether, shiny and new. The old has passed away, the Bible says. All has become new because God has made it new. Springtime has come. And new plants and flowers spring up. The fragrance, you see, of God's working in a man's soul, turning away from all that's bad, untruthful, ungodly, and turning, of course, and embracing, loving the truth and obeying it. Jesus, the first words recorded in the Bible spoken by him are these: repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, a man cannot repent until he's been reborn, and neither can he believe until he has been reborn. Not in your power to do these things. Faith, the Bible tells us, is the gift of God. God gives the gift, the power for a man to believe. The power, you see, is of God, it's not man. Left to your own devices, left as you are, unless God comes to you. It's the reason why you ought to be thankful that you still do have the preaching of the gospel in your land today, because that's the means by which God saves a person, brings a person to salvation and to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Without it, God takes it away from you. You're lost indeed. You're undone completely and totally. You have no hope without the gospel. There is no other hope, and there is no other power to change the heart of man and make him a new creature. So power, you see, that's the thing that's lacking. No power. And of course you don't have it in your churches either, because they've wandered, they've strayed from the truth. Go from one to another in your town and you'll find Christian social clubs, you know, all kinds of social events, mums and toddlers and men's and women's meetings and all kinds of things, but prayer meetings and the proclamation of the gospel, that you will not find and that you will not hear. But alas, there are at least one or two of us who still believe the gospel and who still proclaim the gospel amongst you. But it's your only hope. There is no hope and there is no power, I tell you, without the gospel. And that's why, like the author in the Bible, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed to come here Friday by Friday and tell you the good news, because it's the only thing that will save you from what? From your sinful heart, your natural condition. It's the only thing that will bring the power to change to you. And it's the only thing that has the power, the authority to alter the destination that you're heading towards. Yes, hell's damnation. because you see, it's that important. It's that important, you see, that you are reborn, that you are made a new creature in Christ, because unless you are, you're hell-bound, and you're bound for more suffering than ever you imagined in your life before. You see, my suffering's terrible now. You see, if you just knew my life, if you just knew the things that I've been through and go through, well, you wouldn't talk to me about suffering. Yes, I would. You know nothing, absolutely nothing. And of course, it's the loving Savior, Jesus, who so graphically portrays to us the torments of hell that await all unbelieving, unrenewed souls. That's your destination. Destination, damnation. That's the pathway that you're on in your sinful, natural state and condition, and you do not have the power to change course. There's only one power, and that's the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. That's the power that's to be found in the gospel, the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ. He sent him into the world not to make you religious, but to make you a disciple of his, a follower of his, to save you, rescue you. Christ Jesus, the Bible says, came into the world to save sinners. He alone has the authority, the power to save you, and he alone has the power, the authority to forgive you. Unless you've heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus himself, you may have heard them, words of forgiveness from priest or pope or some other religious dude, but I tell you, unless you've heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus himself, unless he has said to you, your sins are forgiven you, I tell you, you're still in your sin. He alone, he tells us, the Son of Man, God's Son alone, has the authority, the power to say to anyone, your sins are forgiven. And here you are, many of you, you know, you're well on the road. I see the grey hairs like my own, the walking sticks, and I think to myself, you're not long for this world, same as me. And you fall out of this world in your sin if you don't believe I am who I am, says Jesus. You'll perish in your sins. That is, you go to a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. So people, it's imperative that you turn before you burn. Turn from your sin, repent, believe the gospel, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one else can do that for you. Only Jesus. Only he can absolve you of your guilt, of your sin, remove it. No one else has the power to do so. It's in the gospel. There is no power anywhere else to effect such a change, to bring forgiveness, the joy of salvation, the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven. You see, there's something to be saved from. There's something to avert. And of course, there's something to be gained. And that, of course, is the eternal blessedness of heaven with God, as opposed goes to hell with the devil and his angels. So people, it's the gospel that you need. It's the good news about Jesus Christ that you need. And you can find it, read about it in the Bible. And again, offered to you is an extract from the Bible, Mark's gospel, that will give you an understanding, see the wonderful things that Jesus did and is still doing, of course, how that he heals the sick and gives eyesight to the blind, his enemies, those who crucified him, said of him, no man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did, Jesus did, and he is still doing. Open your blind eyes and enable you to see the reality of God, sin, and of course, your need of salvation. He's the one who raises the dead out of the deadness of your trespasses and sins and made alive to God in Jesus Christ. He alone has the power to do such. Nobody else. Not Muhammad, not Allah, not Buddha, not Confucius. None of these dudes. They're all dead, buried, and gone. Jesus alone, the Bible says, is Lord. He's Lord of all. Why? Because he's still alive. Because he beat death. Because he beat sin. He's alive, risen from the dead. That's why he's Lord. And he's Lord over all. Those who believe and those who don't believe. And the Bible says the result of that is that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Everything in heaven and earth and under the earth. So people, be it not better that you bow the knee to King Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, rather than later as your judge, as the one who sentences you to an eternal lostness. Eternal, I say, everlasting destruction is the way Jesus describes it. That is, when you've been there for a million years, you'll still have eternity to go. It's never ending. So the gospel is offered to you. Yours to take, greed, do with as you will. But maybe, perhaps, if you do as you read it, maybe God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and give you a knowledge of himself in his Son, Jesus. Maybe, perhaps, he will exercise his divine power and remove your blindness, your deadness, and by his power make you alive and give you a new heart and a new hope, a new start, a new beginning. And of course, one that ends in the blessedness of heaven. So it's offered to you. You like to have one. As I say, no cost and no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But remember, will you, God's word, take it home with you in your head or in your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth shall not be condemned. He that believeth shall be saved. You'd like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.